Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. Welcome to this episode on the Sound Steps podcast, Living Your Targets. Auditory verbal therapy is both a science and an art. The science of auditory verbal therapy leads us to choose our weekly targets for our child with care, rooted in our knowledge and experience of the developmental milestones in the different domains of audition, receptive and expressive language, cognition, speech, and communication. These are selected by your LISL professional in collaboration with you. And as you work your way through the service, you drive therapy and you begin to choose those targets and direct the course of therapy, which is such a delight. But let's come back to the art of auditory verbal therapy. How do we weave those targets into our everyday lives? Because they get busy and often we find ourselves running out of time and being overwhelmed. We plan, we work hard, we follow through each week's targets with great diligence, and somehow there's a part of us that is wondering, why isn't she getting it? Why is my child not achieving these targets on a weekly basis? Or why is it taking so long? If these are some of the questions that trouble you and to which you seek answers, well, come have a listen to this episode. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me.
It's difficult enough identifying targets for the development of spoken language in young children. How do we then set up our day or the situation such that this target is achieved?
I thought that the best way to address this topic would be to share conversations that I've had on exactly this with most of my families at Soundsteps, whether in my in-person or online service. I share here the conversations I've had with two mothers in particular at Soundsteps. Let's begin with Rashi Sanghi, whom you've already heard from in earlier episodes, especially on the one, Are We Prejudging Our Toddler?
For the audition, we wanted some whispered commands examples
to understand a message that has been whispered. That is our target, right?
Let's get your blanket, but don't disturb Papa as he's sleeping.
Okay, and how would you say it?
So I just whisper to her, like, you know.
Whisper.
Aira, Papa is sleeping. Let's get your blanket and don't disturb. In a very...
Is that a whisper?
Okay. Like that. So...
Correct. Okay. And what does she need the blanket for?
Like, for example, she sleeps in another room, so I can just keep her blanket in the room where Papa has
her bed.
Yeah.
Why am I asking you this question?
Because she has to have the cause and effect. Like, if I'm asking her to do something, then it has to be related to an activity, not just for the sake of a target.
Rather than just cause and effect, there has to be a need. There has to be a reason why you're whispering. Because then that's what she's going to pick up. So when she has a need, maybe, or she wants to give someone a surprise in the family or whatever it is, then she will spontaneously start to whisper.
Another example I have written is also like, we had Father's Day a couple of weeks back. Mm-hmm. So we were gifting something to her grandfather. So I whispered it in her ear that, you know, he had a card and he had a pen.
She's holding the card. You're holding the card.
No, so I was holding the card and a pen that we were gifting it to Baba. And I said, I will give this to Baba and wish him happy Father's Day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the wish him happy Father's Day is a nice add-on. Why? Because you give a child a pen and a card or whatever that she's made. She knows that the card she's made is for grandfather because you've discussed it while you were making it. Yes. And then whether or not she understands the whispered command, it doesn't take listening ability to then just go and give those objects to the person.
Because it was presented it to her, so she knew that she has to give it to someone.
Yeah, the situation itself gives the response away.
Yes, yes.
So we need to listen. So that's what I'm saying. So there are two things we need to consider. So this is a good example. There are two things we need to consider. One is the fact that there is a real need to use that form, whether it is, in this example, we're talking about a whisper, but otherwise it could be a question form, it could be a vocabulary word, whatever it is. So there has to be that need. And the second thing is that listening has to be an integral part of being able to carry out what you're being told to do. It can't be self-explanatory, like, for example, giving the child the card and the pen and asking her to give it to her grandfather. Even if she didn't hear or understand the whispered command in its fullness, she would still go and give it. And we'd say, oh, she's got it.
Because she understood in context, yeah.
Correct. Okay, the non-verbal event gives away the meaning.
Yes.
So as you very rightly tacked on that, wish your grandfather. How old is she right now? 2 years, 5 months?
Six months.
She's 2.5, right? For a child to understand, go wish him happy Father's Day, okay, is hard. Why? Because Father's Day comes only once or maybe twice in a year. It's not like, go wish him happy birthday or something because, you know, family members have birthday parties, friends have birthday parties. So that is a far more higher functionality because you just hear it more often. This you're hearing just once or twice a year. Then you're whispering it. And then you're expecting your child to follow through with it. So the third point I want to add on, in addition to there being a need, the fact that listening has to be an integral part of the message and therefore a need to listen. And the third thing has to be that the language has to be familiar. Because with young children, we do only one new thing at a time, remember?
Yeah.
Now, if in addition to a lot of new vocabulary, we are then throwing into the mix the whole aspect of whispering, which in any case is new.
Too many new things. Too many new things for her.
It's a case of overload. And then we've always set the child up for success. So, is she going to be able to succeed? No, but the point is that we knew that going into it. So then why did we set her up for failure? I'm not comfortable with that.
Another example is that Papa is on a call. Let's talk soft.
If she's talking very exuberantly or she's playing and her voice rises and you say, Papa's on a call. We need to be quiet. What is the one word we should resist saying?
Don't.
Why?
I have written that in examples.
Written shh. What did you write? You didn't tell me that. What did you write?
Over here only, I had written that shh, Papa is talking on the call. But I didn't say it to you because I thought that it's...
Okay. Yeah, can I finish the sentence? Finish the sentence. You didn't
because
say...
it's like, you know, it's a little rude. I'm like,
all you have to do is hear the shh.
Okay. And it's, she doesn't have to be direct. Understand anything else.
She doesn't have to understand the rest of what you said. So it was going back to the second point of listening has to be an integral part of the way you structure what you're saying. One final example, let's have a go at it. Suppose your husband comes home late one night or he comes home from work one night and you say, let's go surprise Papa. You hear the key in the latch or you hear the doorbell or whatever it is. Papa's come home. Let's go surprise him, okay? And then Where should we hide? And you can whisper all that. Where should we hide? Behind the door? Oh, but no, he'll see us. Maybe we should hide behind this chest of drawers. And then as soon as he comes, remember, we have to go. Oh, that's a perfect reason.
I'd like to share with you the conversation I had with the lovely Sheena Kurian from Kerala in India, mother of a four-year-old, on exactly this topic.
So this week, we're going to be working on the conjunction only, as you saw. So, have you had time to bring in some examples of your own? How would you use it at home?
Two examples here. Yeah. Okay. So, my first example goes like this. So, Kevin will be coming home next week. And when he goes back, I'll be like, only Appa would be going back to Chennai.
Okay, that's a great example. That's a great example. My only hesitation is, I would urge you to use that after he is showing that he's understanding the concept of only. So if you go back to the plan I gave you and the examples I gave you in my plan, they are pretty much stuff that he has to demonstrate. Did you get that?
I was a little confused. You know.
Yeah.
I see the difference now. Yeah.
Okay. So certainly once he's showing us that he's understanding only, then that's a great example. But the point is, it's an abstraction because only Appa is going to be coming is, you know, firstly coming and the going. It's, you know, it's these are abstractions. There's nothing that is tangible right there, right in the moment that we can understand or show whether we've understood what is being said to us. So let's try and think of another example which is more tangible in the moment.
Okay, I have one more. So he has this habit of taking papers from the printer. You know, he'll ask me first and then he'll go take papers to scribble or color or draw something. And then I could probably say, take only one sheet of paper.
That's a fantastic example. So that is that's exactly what we want to do. It's tangible, right? We're saying it. He shows us.
Yeah.
And right there in the moment, he's showing us that he's understood. Plus, he gets the opportunity to make the connection of what does it mean to use the conjunction only. Okay. So now think and tell me how he is... He is heading towards the printer very gleefully. Okay. You know he wants paper. So what are we going to say? And how are we going to handle the situation?
High chances he's going to come back with 2 to 3 papers.
I'm
probably going to be watching like... I'm going to say like... I told you only one sheet of paper, not 2 to 3.
Right.
This is probably what I'm going to end up saying.
Now, why am I going to...
This is probably what I'm going to...
What? Why am I going through this? Do you know where I'm going with this? You see, when we say not 2 to 3, he has number values 2 to 3. Okay, he's understood that. But the point is that when we give the second backup explanation in a sentence of not 2 or 3, he doesn't need to have A, listened to the first sentence, and B, understood what only means. He just needs to have heard and understood the second sentence, and he does it. And then we think inaccurately that he's understood only. So now let's replay this.
Right.
Yep. So let's replay this.
Hmm.
And the way we can set it up is that you tell him, okay, so you want to color, fine. But just remember that you take only one sheet of paper from the roll. Okay? And my voice and my intonation, I'm stressing the only. And I know full well that maybe he's understood, but he has no intention of following through, which is fine. Which is fine. But the question is, has he understood? Because, I mean, he's only a 4-year-old kid. I mean, you know, children do that. So when he comes back with triumphantly with 3 and 4 sheets, we can say to him, okay, but I said only one. And then you wait. Does he self-correct? Does he self-monitor? Because that's the ultimate goal, right, in auditory verbal therapy, is to give our children, young as they are, that sense of being able to self-monitor, and it's okay, I made a mistake, but I'm going to self-correct. If for any reason he doesn't self-correct, I would very patiently just pick up one and say, only one. But I would resist the temptation of saying not all the others, because then not all the others is a form he's understood. So we're then actually using it and falling back. Yeah.
That you know, the extra sentences are very, very likely to...
Sometimes just part of our nature as parents or whatever, we just want to pack it in. I don't know what it is. We just want to pack it all in. And then when we do it, it's a case...
I have the tendency to do it.
No, it's not just you. I mean, I would probably do it too, you know, if I had known better. And if you think about it, it's the same recommendation I gave when we were doing plurals. You know, you just use the plural. I want spoons.
Okay,
if you're helping laying the table, not that I want 3 spoons or 4 spoons or 2 spoons, because the number value then gives the plurality away. And I don't have to listen to that S marker, which is so subtle, and right at the end of the sentence. Okay, so we have to remember that we need to set it up. How are we setting? Firstly, we have to set up the child for success. But how are we setting up the task such that it is logical for him to make the right conclusions and therefore learn in the moment? So how about us thinking of another example?
Another example was very similar to what you just said. Now, we need only 2 chairs. I'm giving the number, only 2 chairs or plates or spoons, you know, during lunch or dinner. That was something I thought.
Fair enough. It's okay.
You can have only...
Yeah, and that's fine, because there he can... Okay, now think about this. Huh? No, just listen to them. What's the difference? We need 2 plates for dinner. We need only 2 plates for dinner.
Mm.
I would still give you 2 plates, right? So then what was the need to have said only?
Yeah. Okay, so I have one more which goes like this. You can have only 1 sweet or chocolate after lunch.
Perfect.
And I'll probably give him a choice.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. You got it. That's perfect.
And the conversations continue. Thank you so much for your time and attention and for listening to this episode all the way to the end. The one thought I'd like to leave you with is that, as presented in this episode, there are 3 pointers that will really help you follow through on your targets week after week. All of them focus on the pragmatics of language. How are we using spoken language to communicate or engage with our child. First, is it answering a need in the child to know or to communicate or to ask, whatever the target? Is it fulfilling a need? The second is the manner in which we are presenting or doing our follow-up, integrating listening such that listening is an integral part of this process. And third and finally, are we using familiar language? Or is everything so new and so unmatched to our child's current level of functioning that she's not engaging with whatever it is that we are looking to present her with? Life with our child who is deaf or hard of hearing is fun. Coming up next on this podcast is the episode on consistency. So don't miss it and be sure to join in. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.